It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also, you can communicate with us on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. A lot of stuff going on in Giants land, an exciting day. The media back in the building for the first time, talking to the players who are now on day number 4 of their offseason workout and conditioning program. The guys are here. They're back to work. They're trying to get into the right physical shape to be ready for not only OTAs and mandatory minicamp, but, of course, training camp at the end of July and once the regular season comes in September. Good morning, everybody. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft, just 7 days from today at Radio City Music Hall, starting at 7 o'clock. Or is it 8 o'clock on Thursday night, rather? It's 7, right? It's 7 o'clock on Thursday night. The NFL draft will occur. The Giants, of course, have the final pick in the first round, being Super Bowl champions. A bad place to pick, but a place the Giants would be happy to pick in every single year. And, of course, the other big news this week, the Giants' schedule was released, along with everybody else in the NFL, on Tuesday night. That's always very exciting every year. And joining us to talk about all that and more is the beat reporter for Giants.com, Michael Eisen. Now, Michael had a very rowdy time at the Bruce Springsteen concert, so his voice is a little raspy, but I think we can get him through about 15 minutes here.
I'll see what I can do, John. I'm happy to be here.
All right, Mike, let's talk a little bit about the schedule here. We talked a little bit about the Cowboys being that first game already, a bit of a surprise. What surprised me is that you have 4 of the Giants' 6 division games all in the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah, that was a little surprising, but having said that, the Giants' schedule is once again really backloaded, I think. You know, it's a late bye, November 18th. Then you have Green Bay at Washington, New Orleans, at Atlanta, Baltimore. You have 4 playoff teams in the final 6 games. And as, you know, when I sat down with Coach Coughlin to talk about the schedule after it was released, he said, look, Philadelphia is a playoff team, too, with the personnel they have. So, you know, you got 4 playoff teams, a trip to Washington, and Philadelphia in the final 6 games. That, to me, is as tough a stretch run as anybody has in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, but frankly, Mike, you know, you could say it's a tough stretch run, but really with these opponents, no matter how you set up the schedule, I think the stretch run was going to be tough because really 3, you could argue, of the Giants' toughest road games at Philly, at Dallas, and at San Francisco all come before the bye. You put those games in the last 6 or 7 contests, that's really tough. So you knew this was going to be tough based on the opponents, no matter, frankly, where the teams ended up.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, we're playing 7 playoff teams, and none of them are from the NFC East. So you add all the NFC East games, and we've talked about it. Really, the only quote-unquote, I don't want to say easy games, but games that don't look quite as menacing are the home games against Tampa Bay and Cleveland, and they're finished by October 7th. So after October 7th, every game is a minefield.
And you don't know how good the Redskins are going to be. You know, you figure they're going to draft Robert Griffin III. You don't know how quickly he's going to adjust to the NFL. Who knows? He could have a Cam Newton-like rookie year or Matt Ryan-like rookie year or Joe Flacco-like rookie year, and all of a sudden the Redskins are a tough team. And even last year with Rex Grossman as their starting quarterback, the Giants lost to Washington twice. So those are going to be 2 tough games as well. And as you mentioned, Mike, there's really no breaks here. Every time and day you turn around, and I saw Tom Coughlin's quote in your story yesterday, it's another tough team. They're just all over the place.
Yeah, but you know, let's look at the reverse, John, which is all of these teams are looking. The Atlanta Falcons are looking, and they're thinking, you know, on December 16th, we have to play the Super Bowl champions.
That's right.
So it's a very tough game for them, too. And, you know, we don't want to do a woe is me. This is an impossible schedule. We're the Super Bowl champions. They've got to play us, too. And they have a big challenge when they face us. But there's no question it's a very difficult schedule. I mean, five night games, you know, that's and the way it starts is very challenging logistically. You have a Wednesday opener, then you have 10 days to prepare for Tampa Bay, then you have 3 days to prepare for a game, then you have 9 days to prepare for a game. So it's, the Giants are going to be a little out of sync there in those first four games, and three of those games are prime time games.
Oh, you know how Tom Coughlin loves switching up his schedule and changing days and, you know, having guys do stuff that are out of sorts. He loves that sort of stuff.
Flexible Freddy, that's him. but, you know, the good thing for the Giants is, I think, at least personally for me, you know, our three road night games are Carolina, Philadelphia, and Washington. None of them are long trips. You know, the longest trip of a road night game is
Atlanta?
Carolina.
Carolina,
it's an hour flight. You know, there are really only two long trips, San Francisco and Dallas, and they're 2 weeks apart.
And they're both at 4:15, yeah, not at 8:30.
Not at night. So, you know, in that sense, at least the road night games are close.
And a couple other things that are nice, too. I'm sure Giants coaches and players, and I know, of course, Giants employees who work the games are all very excited that the Giants don't have to play on Thanksgiving. I know a lot of people thought that was going to be a possibility this year. Instead, the team down in Florham Park will play on Thanksgiving evening against the New England Patriots.
Well, more to the point, it's the Redskins. So they did pick an NFC East opponent to play in Dallas.
Correct.
Just wasn't us.
Very, 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 very true. And, you know, you mentioned the one night game that's good, the Monday night game at Washington. That, you know, people don't realize when the Giants travel to Washington, and I'm sure it's going to be the case when we travel to Baltimore too, take the train. They don't take the plane. Yeah. So after those two games, and both of them are later in the year in December, you know, Giants players, you know, in December they're going to be sore, you're tired, you don't have to, you know, get in that TSA line, you don't got to walk up the steps of the plane, you got to wait for it to pull out, especially in cold weather. Who knows what kind of weather problems you're going to have. You don't have to squeeze into seats on the plane sometimes. You get to get on that train. Everyone kind of has a lot of room. You can spread out. You can sleep. You know, late in the year, that's a nice little luxury thing that a lot of people might not know about, but I'm sure the team and the coaches are going to be pretty excited about.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, the last, what, four trips, Cincinnati, Washington, Atlanta, Baltimore. None of them are really more than an hour. For Atlanta, maybe an hour and 20, an hour and a half, I don't know. But they're all relatively easy trips. But those train trips are always nice. Although it's still a night game, we're still going to pull in about 2 o'clock in the morning. And as Coach Coughlin was quick to point out when I talked to him, we play at San Francisco, and then the following week we play at Washington. And he said, going to San Francisco, you're not right until Wednesday of the next week anyway. So it'll be interesting how he's going to handle those trips and the short and the long weeks. The short weeks, he's going to have to keep the players off their feet a little bit. So it'll be interesting.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. And, of course, I mentioned it earlier, the media is here for the first time today talking to the players in the locker room. Mike's been talking to them all week long. They came back on Monday for their off-season strength and conditioning tests. And we're going to hear from Jerry Reese later on today on Giants.com at noon, too. So make sure you come in and check that out, everybody. And, Mike, I played this little game with Paul Schwartz on the phone. We had him on the show on Monday. And I said, make some predictions as to what Jerry Reese is going to say at his Thursday press conference. So I'm going to ask you the same thing. Why don't you predict what Jerry's going to say to Giant fans in about an hour and 15 minutes?
Well, I'm sure Jerry's going to roll in the draft board and just say, this is what our board looks like. And, you know, as you can see, we have Andrew Luck rated very high. We're hoping he falls to 32, but it's not likely to happen. Jerry Reese has learned well from Ernie Accorsi.
Yes.
And he has the ability, and George Young before him. And I've been attending these pre-draft news conferences for 26 years now. And Jerry Reese has the ability to have an entire half-hour pre-draft news conference without mentioning the name of one draft-eligible player, which is not easy to do.
Paul actually had a great line. I asked Paul, will you get Jerry to mention a name of a college player? He goes, yes, but not one that's going to be drafted this year.
Yeah, and certainly not one by the Giants.
Yes.
He will not I don't know exactly what he'll say. I can tell you what he's not going to say. He won't discuss the Giants' needs. He won't discuss the strength of the draft, because he will say there are players in every draft. You just have to find them.
Every draft is a strong
players.
Draft.
Every
right.
draft is a strong draft. He's not really going to spell out a whole lot about what he's looking for, and he's not going to reveal anything, whether he thinks it's a good draft for linebackers and a bad draft for running backs, things like that. So there'll be a lot of it'll be a little rope-a-dope with Jerry Reese today, ducking and bowing a little
bit. Giant fans, we did break some news today. Michael Eisen reporting Giants will target Andrew Luck on draft day at pick number 31.
Yeah.
Okay, so 32, so. Excuse me. So just everyone, you want to keep an eye on that. Andrew Luck and probably Robert Griffin III, too, also on the board for
Aaron,
the Giants.
Aaron Rodgers fell to 24. It can happen to anybody. So, you know, there'll be some surprise in the draft. But, you know, and really – in all fairness to Jerry, when you're picking 32,
who knows?
It's so hard to, even if he was going to say, look, we like these four players. Who knows which players are going to be there after 31 players are gone? And with all the trading that's going to happen, maybe by the Giants, you know. You're picking 32. You can't predict what's going to happen.
And it's funny. Obviously, we're going to have our live draft show on MSG. I'm going to be at Radio City. You're going to be waiting to write the Giants story. I was joking with the beat reporters in the locker room just about a half an hour ago. And we're like, you know what the worst case scenario is? At around 11:50, with the Giants just going on the clock, we have a trade.
We have a trade.
And the Giants have moved into the second round. And all of a sudden.
See you tomorrow.
Exactly. And then Mike has to figure out how to fill a column on Giants.com with the Giants not making a pick.
Well, then I'll beg Jerry to say something. but, hey, it's not impossible. If the pick's coming up and there's nobody there that they really have a conviction on, or there are players that have pretty equal grades that they think they can get a little later and they can get an extra pick, and somebody wants to move up to get a specific player, would not surprise me. Nothing in the draft surprises me.
See, at 32, I think there's a great chance, or at least maybe not a great chance, but a great opportunity to trade up. If you're sitting there at 32 and you get to pick 25 or 26 and you see a guy on the board that maybe the Giants have at 8 or 9 and they really think is a great player and they only have to move up 6 or 7 picks and it might cost them, you know, 4 or 3 or something like that, I think seeing who's on the board for that long, there's a good chance of somebody dropping that's high on your board. There will at least be an opportunity, if the right player drops, that the Giants could investigate moving up to pick a guy they really like.
Well, there's no question if the eighth player on your board is still there at 24, you have to start thinking about it. But I think Jerry would be reluctant to relinquish a draft choice.
They already traded one, by the way, in the trade for Keith Rivers, the 5.
But, you know, it's really a wash because they have an extra 4 because for a compensatory pick. So they still have 7, which they cannot trade the compensatory pick. So it would have to be a player that's, as you said, very highly rated on their board. It's fallen, and they have a chance to get, and they don't have to give up too much to make the switch.
Yeah, and look, Jerry's going to say the same thing he says every year. The Giants are going to go about their business the way they do every year. They're going to pick the best player available. You know, it's probably not going to be a quarterback. I will say that. Now, it could be. You never know. But, you know, Eli Manning, I'm pretty sure he and the Giants plan him to be here for a good another 7-8 years as their starting quarterback. But then again, everyone said that with Peyton Manning and the Colts, and, you know, freak injury, look what happens. Now all of a sudden he's quarterbacking a different team. So obviously the Giants, you know, won't focus on a position. They're going to want to pick the best possible guy they can get. 201-939-4513. Let's go down to Victor in Texas. Good morning, Victor.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, John?
Hello,
hey, just a couple things. I'll be pretty brief today. Just want to get your take on the NFL draft itself. A lot of fans, you know, have been tweeting and talking about, you know, how there's no suspense in the draft anymore, being that the players are basically notified like a couple of minutes early before Roger Goodell actually gets out and talks about or calls a player's name out. I mean, it kind of takes the suspense out of it. I mean, I wanted to get your take on that. Is that something they need to take out of there, or they have taken it out? And looking at the Giants draft, I did some more homework on our running back from Boise State. I mean, this guy, all he did was improve each year in college. I mean, he averaged about at least, you know, in his junior and I believe senior year was 28 receptions out of the backfield. I mean, each year, 28 receptions, about, you know, 200-something yards. I mean, the guy is outstanding. I'm beginning to get sold on him. I don't know about you, John. So if you could leave me on so I can hear your response, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, Victor, no problem. First on Doug Martin, the running back out of Boise State. Obviously, Mike and I don't know what's going on upstairs in the draft room. We don't know what they're thinking, what their analysis of these guys. This is basically just what I've read. And I talked to you about him. I think, to me, he's a classic Giant style, north-south, bruising between the tackles, gain the extra yard after contact. To me, he reminds me of Michael Turner. I watched video game the other day, and he's got those thick legs where he can get through the line. To me, that's a guy that will complement Ahmad Bradshaw really well and be a workhorse. You know, Bradshaw with the foot injuries he has, he can't, Mike, you know, run it 15, 20 times a game. The Giants need to find the complement. Maybe they have that guy already with the Darrell Scott or Andre Brown, though he is a suspension. Then, of course, you have DJ Ware. But running back, I think, is certainly somewhere the Giants will probably come away with one over the course of those seven rounds.
I would think so, or else a veteran. You know, I know sometimes they're a little wary. You know, running back is a one position where they sometimes have favored players who have left the draft early because, you know, when you play 4 years in college, that's one position where you really get pounded on, running back.
That's true.
And if there's one position where maybe you want a guy to come out early, as one less year of wear and tear, it's running back. And I think they do think about that at running back more than at other positions.
Interesting, interesting. So maybe an underclassman or a guy that maybe didn't play all 4 years in college is the guy they might look at more. Now, in terms of kind of ruining the suspense of the draft and showing the guys on the phone, from what I understand, both the NFL Network and ESPN, if I'm not mistaken, have agreed to not show the guy on the phone with the team before the pick gets made. And to me, that's a good thing. I can live with the reporter if he finds out who's taking who. They break the story, they report it. That's cool. That's their job. I get that. But I'd like to have the drama of Roger Goodell walking slowly up to the podium, giving the name. The crowd goes nuts. They don't know who it's going to be. And then all of a sudden, you know who the first, you know, the next guy on your team's going to be. I'm happy that they're going to let the drama come back in the draft. It's like the thing's boring as heck to watch anyway. At least let me have some excitement.
Yeah, I never really thought there was a lack of drama. I mean, you find out, you see the guy talking on the phone. To me, it's not a big deal. Roger Goodell goes up, makes a selection, and there's still a lot of cheering and booing going on, depending on the fan sentiment. So, you know, I guess it'll make it a little more dramatic for everybody. We'll have to see how it works out.
201-939-4513. Jeff in Rhode Island. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, guys. How you doing
hey,
today?
Jeff.
What's up?
I've been thinking about this for the past few days in regards to OCU Manyora, and I'm thinking the Giants are going to trade him. I don't see next year is his walk year, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And I can't see how they, you know, they just let him walk away without getting anything for him, and you know, you're going a lot of other guys are going to want the contracts redone for big money, and financially, I just don't see, you know, how they can get that done. So I'm thinking they're going to trade him maybe around draft day or maybe later. I mean, I think they'd probably shoot for a number two for him as they tried to get a number one last year, and nobody wanted to go for that. And as he is getting older and he has, as he has had injury problems, although I'd hate to see him go, but I think that's a real possibility. What do you guys think?
I don't think we're going to trade him. You know, there's so much speculation about OCU in Europe. This year, he's under contract. I would expect him to play. You don't give away good players just to give them away. You know, there's still a possibility if he does play and his contract expires, he could re-sign here. Excuse me. You have to remember, OC's got, what, 31 now or 30?
Yeah, guys that are 32-year-old defensive ends that have had multiple surgeries on their legs don't get big money contracts when they become free agents.
And you're not going to get a second rounder for him, I don't think, even though he had 9 sacks in 9 games last year. You know, I think you just let him play here, you play it out, and you see what happens. I mean, there could be a whole different set of circumstances next year. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
Yeah, you never know. An injury to another defensive lineman, OC, it becomes a must to have him back. Maybe the market's not where it is next year. A lot of teams were expecting, I think, the salary cap to go up shortly after the new CBA got signed. Now there seems to be rumbling that it's not going to go up, so you don't know how much money teams are going to have under the cap next year. But, look, he's still under contract for another year, Mike. He hasn't said he's holding out or anything like that. So there's no reason to think he's not going to be here. And remember, this season in 2011, in part, turned around when OC came back from that injury against the New York Jets. That's when it really started to turn around.
He played very well down the stretch. That's why I say you don't just give away good players I don't think, you know, to me, and again, I don't know what Jerry's thinking, you know, to speculate about what's going to happen next year. In the NFL, you worry about this week, you worry about next week, just like now you worry about this year. Don't worry about it now. Who knows what's going to happen next year? I mean, there are a million things going to happen between now and next year if his contract expires. So let's just play it out.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for the call. It's fun to look ahead and theorize and all that stuff, but look, Michael's right. There's no way to know where the heck this team or their roster is going to be in 2013. We even know the roster they're bringing into training camp in 2012, right, for goodness sakes.
Right. And, you know, to speculate about, you know, maybe this, even say they get lucky and get a second-round pick. You know, are you going to get a player that's going to help you as much this year as OCU and Euro? I don't know about that.
Before we say goodbye, Chase Blackburn, a sub-re-signing official this week. Mike, your thoughts on the Giants bringing back their veteran linebacker?
Well, he's just a great locker room guy. Everybody likes Chase. You know, I don't know how much exactly he's going to play. I don't know if Chase is a starting middle linebacker in this league. Long-term, he can certainly fill in there. But, you know, for a guy who's a leader, has led the team in special teams tackles 6 times, who knows the defense, who can, you know, showed up on a Wednesday last year and intercepted an Aaron Rodgers pass on Sunday. I think he's a great guy to have around, a good guy to have on the team.
Michael, any final thoughts a week before the draft, before we say goodbye here?
Excuse me. You know, John, I just still think it's up in the air. I do think the Giants are going to pull a couple of surprises. I'm very interested to see. You know, I keep thinking about the old George Young thing, that you always want to, you know, kind of know where your next quarterback is going to be. You always want to have a young quarterback in the system, and the Giants have just not done that lately.
That's true.
They've had 2 quarterbacks on the roster for the last 3 years, and I just have a feeling that they're going to find a way to bring in a talented young quarterback this draft.
Mike, thank you very much for the time.
My
we appreciate
pleasure.
It. And, of course, you can check out Eisen's mailbag later on today, the video version on Giants.com. Michael, go through all those mail messages, and we'll pick some out. We'll get some questions. You can check that out later on the website. Everybody, thanks for joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. It's on every weekday morning at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Daniel Mulligan, draft expert from NFL Draft Bible, and we'll try to do 3 draft spots next week leading up to the NFL Draft Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and what the hell, Thursday morning too. Why not? So that'll be fun. We'll talk all things NFL Draft and really break this thing down from top to bottom. And we'll, of course, take your calls and take your questions on Twitter as well. Everyone, thanks for joining us. For Michael Eisen, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Big Blue Kickoff Live. Don't miss it.